If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Quick reminder, from now on, I'm going to be releasing a regular episode every 2 weeks, with a bonus episode going out every other week on Headstuff Plus. Some of these new bonus episodes are going to be different to the usual show. We're going to be trying out some new formats and having a bit of fun with it. We will stick some of them on the main feed to entice you to sign up to Headstuff Plus, which is a great way to support the show and the Headstuff Podcast Network. More on that later. For now, please enjoy the show.
Phoning it in. If you're in a quandary, you've got dirty laundry, then you should be phoning it in.
Hello and welcome to Phoning It In, the improvised phone-in show. My name is Dave Coffey. The usual phone lines are open, so get calling. We're going to kick things off this week with our topic of the week. This week we're talking about things we've lost. Sharon, you lost your mind. What do you mean?
Yeah, I'll tell you what I did. I was in the supermarket trying to get all my bits. And first of all, I lost my list. So I didn't know what I needed. And then I tried to remember the list. And I couldn't remember anything. I didn't even remember why I was there in the first place. I didn't even remember if my fridge was empty. And I thought, and I shouted this in the supermarket, oh my God, I've lost my mind.
Right.
And security kind of ran at me and I pushed my trolley in front of them and ended up killing two of the security men.
Killed them?
And I've been put into jail.
What?
And all I did was lose my bloody list.
Yeah.
Yeah, people got hurt in the process of me losing my list. Yeah. Losing my mind.
Losing your mind.
But it was my fault.
Right,
you know?
So you're claiming kind of like temporary insanity.
Basically, it'll be over very soon.
What do you mean?
Well, it's temporary.
It's ongoing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you still can't remember why you went into the supermarket?
I have no clue.
Okay.
I don't even know what food is.
Okay, we'll come back to that. How did you manage to kill two security guards?
Well, the trolley that I purchased with my pound coin had
that's not, yeah, that's not quite a purchase. There you go.
Rented.
Yeah.
For the hour. Or 45 minutes.
You can take it for as long as you want.
It had spikes coming out of it. I didn't see that when I first rented it.
Okay, yeah. And it just out the front, kind of sticking forward?
Yeah.
Right, so these security guards came at you, presumably. You pushed the trolley at them in self-defense.
Yes, and the spikes went into the first security guard. He kind of did a little twirl and he was bleeding.
Right.
And the spikes went into his stomach. And then he fell into the second security guard and the spikes killed him. And then they both fell on top of each other like a sponge cake. But the jam was blood.
Was blood. So sorry, did the spikes go through one guy into the second guy?
Did he
spin around and push him on?
Yeah, it was like the spikes were still in his stomach and they were sticking out and then they stuck into the other guy and then they stuck together like a sponge cake.
Okay, so they came off the trolley once they were stuck into him.
Yeah. The spikes came off, so they obviously weren't
welded
on.
Or
they were probably just temporary spikes.
Yeah. Right, okay, Jesus. So Sharon, where are you now?
In jail.
Oh, you're in jail, okay.
Yeah, I shoved a Nokia up my bum and that's how I'm speaking to you.
Okay, cool, like an old Nokia 3310.
3310X.
Okay. Well, look, I'm no legal expert, but we do have a lawyer on the line, Mert.
Hello, yes, hello.
Mert, you've been listening to Judy's...
I've been listening with great interest.
Not, sorry, you've been listening to Sharon, yeah.
Yes, I don't listen to Judy anymore. I won't.
Not after
she
the last time.
She gave me some very bad advice
on
some investments and I ended up having to become a lawyer.
Right, okay, yeah. Sorry, but that's dreadful to hear.
Yeah. No, I'm not suing you over it.
No, absolutely sure.
Just because it was a call on your show and I... You know, you were saying out loud, like, listen to Judy. Judy has great advice.
Yeah.
And she said invest in something which was a table made out of trousers.
Mm. I do remember the call, yeah. As I always say, you know, we're not the experts. You're the experts in your...
That's your catchphrase.
Yeah.
We're anyone, not the experts. You're the experts.
Anyone who listens
it's
to
it's not much of a pitch for the show, is it?
The show is more like a guide. You know, it's like these are just people's opinions. What you do has to be on you. So if you make an investment, you can't come crying to me afterwards, going, "Oh, I lost all my money. Now I'm a lawyer."
I've been listening with great interest to what Sharon has been saying because, of course, I am her solicitor.
Oh, you're Sharon's solicitor?
Yeah, so I have been giving her advice so far.
So, sorry, have you gone to trial yet, Sharon?
It's in an hour.
It's in an hour's time.
Okay.
So we're just, we thought we'd just come on.
So you just want to spitball some ideas here?
To be honest, Sharon's bum phone can't ring my number, so we managed to get her to ring your phone.
I only have free calls to Meteor, which so.
Yeah, of course.
Meteor, yeah. I mean, I don't know if anyone's on Meteor anymore.
No, they let us keep going.
You kept going. Yeah. Wow.
We had a contract. I just have really good lawyers, so we were able to keep it going.
Fair play to you. Well, my advice, of course, is, you know, we're just sticking to the facts here. I mean, those spikes, what were they doing on that
rented trolley,
which my client thought she had bought in good faith.
Yes.
She thought she'd bought that trolley
for a pound.
It was hers to keep. And when those security guards came at her, she was like, "They're coming for my trolley." And she shoved it into them. And okay, yes, there was, it turned out later, we found, of course, it was a pitchfork that was sticking out of the front of the trolley, which...
Like the head of a pitchfork? Or?
It was, well, it was the full pitchfork, but of course my client broke off the... in a fit of rage, she broke off the handle of the pitchfork, and so she just had attached the head of the pitchfork onto her trolley, a little bit like Mad Max.
I'm confused because I thought it was already there when she rented it.
Yes, absolutely. It was there when she rented it. But she also put it there just before she put the money in. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So upon rental.
And is this going to be part of your defense?
Huh?
Is this going to be part of your defense?
Well, listen, we're chatting here now. Yeah. And
I mean, the jury's not listening here, so...
Well, I hope the jury isn't listening.
They will be in 55 minutes.
55 minutes, yeah. So
now, why aren't you allowed to meet up in person and chat?
Yeah, there are some mitigating circumstances there. There's a conflict of interest, you know.
What's that?
I'm the judge in the case as well.
Ah. Now, you didn't mention that when we first started the call.
No, I try not to mention it at all.
He's very modest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Bert, you're doing great because you've gone from solicitor to judge in record time.
The solicitor thing didn't work out, so I had to get another job. So okay. I bumped it up to judge.
Okay, so you're the judge in this case.
Yeah.
Who's going to be representing Sharon in the court then?
Oh,
you've got, he's on the line. Oh, it's Jerry.
Hello.
Jerry, how you doing?
So hi, Jerry.
You're
hey, Mert, how's it going?
Hi,
Judge Mert, excuse me. Thank
you. So you're going to be representing Sharon,
yes.
But you're not a solicitor.
No, I am just a pal.
Just a pal,
just a pal, yeah. I just, you know, Sharon and I have been great friends now for a long time. And, you know, I could see the panic in her eyes when she realized she killed two people.
Yeah.
And you were there.
I was there with you. Yeah, I'm also a witness.
You're a witness, for the defense or the prosecution? Okay, right. Yeah.
I'm also a witness for prosecution.
Yeah.
I was there. I saw it all go down.
Star witness.
Yeah. They're gonna.
They're really putting out the fireworks for this one.
Yeah.
They're really putting out the fireworks.
They've got all the elements involved, all the ingredients of the situation.
Exactly.
The horrible situation.
It's a very sad situation.
Two security guards
lost their lives.
Yeah.
Of course.
And we're on here talking about it. But I just want to be very clear that Sharon is, generally speaking, like a great friend.
Generally speaking.
I mean, you know, we all have our moments. We've had fights in the past, haven't we, Sharon? Of course.
Absolutely.
Of course we have.
You've punched me. I've kicked you.
You kicked me really hard in the bollocks.
But it's like when, you know, you see two dogs playing and you think, oh, should I break that up?
Exactly.
People say they're just playing.
They're just playing.
That's what we do.
We play fight.
Oh, like brother and sister, kind of.
No. Not like brother and sister.
Like enemies that have been... hating each other for very long.
Okay, you don't know why you see like two dogs in the street that hate each other. They clearly aren't friends.
And they're
have some sort of rivalry going on.
One's got sharp teeth.
One's got sharp nails. Yeah, the other one's got like, it's just like, just pissing everywhere.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah, yeah. Oh, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah.
Can I say pissing? Is that okay?
Yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah,
that's grand. Thank you.
So from your point of view, Jerry, what happened? Like, what did you see?
Well, I saw Sharon, my pal, lose her mind and just ram a shopping trolley that had two spikes in the front right into a guard. Not a guard. A guard. The guard of the shopping center.
Security guard.
He spun. The spikes were not welded on correctly.
Yeah.
It broke off. He spun and then impaled another security guard.
Yeah.
And we just pegged it. Just ran for the hills.
Oh, you ran with her?
Yeah. I jumped on her back.
Yeah.
And we ran. That's how we get around.
You're not... I mean, you're not under any kind of arrest or suspicion of anything.
No. I made a deal with the prosecution. I made a deal with the prosecution. I wouldn't be... If I testified against Sharon, then I wouldn't... no harm would come to me.
Right. Now, you're testifying against Sharon. You're also defending her in court.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm really going to rinse myself on the witness stand.
Is the judge going to... Oh, of course, you're the
judge. The judge is here. Yeah, the judge is here.
Will you allow us?
Oh, God, yes.
Okay, great.
I'm going to be feeding... him his lines through an earpiece.
Yeah,
because of course I am her.
Oh, you're the real defense. Yeah,
I'm sorry, I keep forgetting. Solicitor.
It's a complicated. Yeah.
Oh, it's a very complicated case. I mean, this could go on for months.
So you'll be on the stand questioning yourself.
Yeah,
and you'll be feeding him the questions and the answers.
Oh God, I wouldn't feed him the answers.
No, just the questions.
This is a court of law.
Yeah, of course.
It's a court of law.
You could probably get in trouble for that.
Well, you could be. For even suggesting that, Dave.
Exactly. Okay, yeah.
Really.
Well, look,
Sharon, bang out of
I have to think that the odds of you getting off here are pretty good because your defense solicitor is also the judge.
Well, that'll be all down to the jury, really.
Oh, that's true. Yes.
Yeah, the jury.
Now, we should say, though, all three of us are on the jury.
Yes.
Even Sharon's on the jury, which is a weird one.
There's going to be a lot of moving around.
Yeah, admittedly, that's a weird one, but that is the truth. A lot of moving
It might
around.
Be a bit like an episode of like a family-friendly sitcom in the 80s where you're like, I will answer your question, but I just have to run over here for a second.
Not that family-friendly, Dave, because, of course, the security guards
Two
are
guards,
on
yeah.
the
Two families right. that have lost...
Yes.
And
they will be there.
Their dead bodies will be on the jury. As well,
the
security guards' dead bodies, the Victoria sponge cake, but blood instead of jam.
Well, that's probably two more votes for you, though, I imagine.
Yeah, because they needed the evidence there, so we worked it out. We could get them taken out of the
two birds, one stone.
Yes,
yeah, exactly.
That's right. Yeah,
we do have
and
two
of course,
birds and one stone on the
on the jury as well.
Jury as well. Yeah.
Listen,
Sharon, make up the numbers.
Sharon, you've got this sewn up. I mean, you're on the jury yourself.
Yeah.
So is your best friend, the judge, who's also your defense lawyer.
But the two people that she murdered.
Yeah, but what are they going to vote, you know? They can't vote
anything.
Who knows? Anything.
Well, what, do you have some sort of inside knowledge or?
I mean, they're dead, but like the birds, they're probably going to... And the stone.
My only worry about this whole situation,
I'm obviously
in very safe hands,
is
will we be able to find my list?
Oh God! Of course.
Is that why you called in?
Well,
she's got to regain her mind
to get out of prison to find the list. But I don't know. I've been in jail for 2 months now. Yeah. Is that list gone?
Well, it depends where you left it, I guess. I mean, it could be in your car or back at home. You know,
Mert, are you a detective by any chance?
I'm not. No. But my cat is.
Great.
Put that cat on the line. Just let's hear
from. Unfortunately, I can't put the cat on the line because
he's on a case at the moment.
Yeah, he's in deep cover right now.
Okay, we need to get him. If he's busy, that's
Colombian
a good sign.
Drug cartel.
A detective, a private detective.
Yeah.
On a drug cartel.
Yeah.
That's incredible. What a cat.
Who's hired him for that?
Who's hired him?
Yeah. Is that like, is he working for the government?
Well, it's the ghost of Alec Guinness, of course.
Of course.
Oh. He was notoriously anti-drugs.
He was very anti-drugs. You know, not publicly, but in his own private life.
Do you think when your cat is finished with the cartel, that he might be able to...
It could be deep undercover. He's really deep undercover.
Right. He thinks the chance that maybe he's starting to flip. Like, he's going... He's maybe making too many friends in the cartel and he might actually end up... Think that's a possibility?
It could be, you know, it's a mission drift kind of situation where he's now he's one of the major producers of drugs into the USA,
right.
And you know, in order to make him seem more plausible, we have to get him to sell some drugs, kill a few people.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
it's collateral damage. I think unfortunately.
Wait. I think
it's collateral damage. Listen, don't worry about it.
I think there's something else in my bum.
Wait a second.
It's my list.
Oh, wow.
And what does it say? Oh, just milk.
That's all
just
you needed?
Yeah, you don't have any milk.
God.
Did you?
I'm staying in her apartment.
Oh, and you knew she was out of milk.
I knew she was out of milk. Okay, well, look. I drank it all.
Listen,
I'm so glad I found it.
All's well that ends well. Best of luck with the trial. Sounds like it's going to go pretty well.
45 minutes to go.
Yeah, can't wait.
Yeah, you found your list, you found your mind, it seems. And do call back and let us know how you get on.
Oh, I will.
Great.
With
definitely.
All my friends.
Yeah.
There will be a follow-up to this, which will recap all details.
The trial will be live on Instagram.
Yeah,
too,
we'll give you a call back when we've sorted this all out.
We're still talking about things we've lost. Seamus is on the line. Seamus, you lost an old pal, is that right?
Aye, that's right. I lost an old pal of mine and I'm very sad about it.
Where did you lose him or how did it happen?
It was down while we were hunting. We were hunting out on the loch. You know, wouldn't you know it, I turned around and he's gone.
Right, so there's only the two in the boat?
There was two of us in the boat and one fella swimming.
Who was the fella swimming? Was he another friend of yours?
Do you know Karl Lagerfeld?
Karl Lagerfeld, the designer?
The designer, yeah.
He was swimming around the boat?
No, but a friend of his was.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Laurel Kargerfeld.
Yeah. Okay. And what's the name?
They met when they realised they had very similar names.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That is interesting. And what's the name of your friend that disappeared?
Chief Big Chin.
Chief Big Chin.
Yeah.
Right. And did Carl see anything?
Carl didn't see a thing. Laurel. Carl. I mean, Carl was watching from the bank, but...
Carl Lagerfeld was with you, but
he sponsored the whole thing.
Oh, okay. A hunting trip?
It was a hunting trip.
What do you hunt in a boat?
With a man in the water.
Yeah.
Well, he's there, to try and evade capture.
Oh, you were hunting Laurel?
Absolutely, we were hunting Laurel.
Okay, and
Carl wanted him back.
Right. Oh, he was...
He'd escaped from the compound.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
So, just to get this all cleared up.
Yeah. Wrap this up in seconds, I'm sure. It's not going to get more complicated. Don't worry about that.
Laurel Kargerfeld was staying in Karl Lagerfeld's compound, but he escaped. Yeah. Carl wasn't happy about that.
No.
He sent you and Chief Big Chin in a boat to try and hunt him down. But while you're in the boat, Chief Big Chin just disappeared.
He disappeared. And I don't know. It's very mysterious. I mean, everything else adds up, you know?
Yeah. Is there any chance that Laurel... somehow snuck onto the boat and pulled Chief Big Chin into the water?
I mean, that could be a possibility, but he was a distance from the boat at that point.
Laurel was. Okay.
That's why I was looking. I was like, where is he? Oh, he's there, he's there. Bang goes the shotgun, harpoon, and the net gun. And turn around.
You fired all three at the same time?
Yeah, they're, a bit of a hair trigger, you know. I'm a bit of a like, whoa, there we go.
fire.
Laurel has complained to me about it a number of times. Like, don't fire. They'd have to reload everything at the one time.
Yeah. Did you hit anything?
Well, I hit a big rock.
Right. To the best of your knowledge,
harpoon might have ricocheted off the rock.
Yes. To the best of your knowledge.
And I heard a screaming noise behind me, and I turned around, and Lal was gone.
No, Chief Big Chin was gone.
Lal was gone as well.
Okay.
Yeah, but Big Chief Big Chin was gone, and that's the most important part. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, look, I don't have any knowledge about Chief Big Chin, but Laurel is on the line. Laurel,
how are you getting on?
Good to hear from you, pal. Oh, it's great to hear from you too, Seamus.
Good times we've had.
Yeah.
Can you tell us where you are now, or would you rather not say?
I am... I'd rather not say, Dave, to be honest. I am...
You're a hunted man.
I'm a hunted man.
Yeah.
But you'd be happy enough to give, like, I don't know... coordinates or something, just a rough general direction. I think he's going to fall for this, lads. Hold on. Keep driving.
Okay. Well, look, I can definitely give you some clues as to where I am.
Please do, Lal. What can you see?
I can see a giant big statue of a woman.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Giant statue.
Could be New York. Could be what?
New York.
Could be New York.
I'm not saying anything.
Okay.
Seamus, it could be Molly Malone.
It could be the Molly Malone. I wouldn't exactly call that giant statue.
Oh, it's giant.
I mean, Annie Olivia's...
What? I would see that as a giant statue.
Well, you are very small, of course, Hamish. We all
who's
know
that. Hamish?
Hamish. That's God.
Who's that, Hamish?
Hamish.
Yeah, who's that? Who are you, Hamish? Sorry, to Seamus.
I'm his little brother.
Oh, okay. And you're little in both sense of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, word, yeah.
In great. Both sense of the world. Yeah, absolutely both sense of the world.
Listen, Laurel, the reason I wanted to talk to you, and thank you for phoning in.
Of course.
We wanted to know, did you see anything?
Oh, to Big Chief Big Chief.
Yeah, did you see what happened? Because obviously you had a net and a javelin and shotgun pellets or whatever. What would you call them?
Shot, really.
Yeah, we call it shot. Yeah, we call it shot.
You were probably trying to dive out of the way or something, were you?
Yeah, well, obviously this is not my first rodeo.
Yes.
As it were.
And, you've escaped from Carl escaped. Before.
Oh, you better believe it, I have. Yeah. Oh, man. In what ways? You wouldn't even have time in your show to get into it, but...
Okay. Well, you could list your top five.
Okay, yeah.
Top five escapes.
Right. Five was when I hid in a barrel, and everybody thought it was empty, even though it was very heavy, because I was in it, and they threw it into the barrel fire.
Into the empty barrel fire. We got to get
it. Climbed out.
Oh, that
that's five. That's five.
That's at four. Five.
Four is when I pretended to be. I hid in the bag of grass that they use when they're cutting the grass and they pour the into the grass bag, and I hid in there and I threw it into the grass fire.
Into the grass fire.
The grass bag fire. Yeah.
And he crawled out.
Yeah.
Number three.
Yeah.
Are they all fire related?
I don't know. I'm not sure if I'm going to make number one.
There was a time you pretended to be fire.
That's right. And they threw me on the fire and then I crawled on out.
That was my favorite one.
That was a good one. But that's only number three. Yeah. Number two is when I pretended to be
Karl Lagerfeld.
They threw me on the bloody Karl Lagerfeld fire, crawled out. And number one, of course, with a bullet, was when I when I pretended to be a bullet.
Yes.
And they shot me out of a gun.
Oh, wow.
And it sailed. That was actually the last time, and I sailed into Loch Swinney, and that's where we ended up anyway.
That's where our story kicks off.
Exactly.
So you didn't see what happened to Chief Big Chin, or did you?
Oh, yeah.
You know where he's gone, Lal, I'd love to see him again. You know, I'm missing him dearly.
Well, you were firing off a whole bunch of different weapons, Seamus.
Yes.
And, look, I don't want to get anybody in trouble here, but you absolutely caught Chief Big Chin right in, well, his big chin.
Well, it's hard to miss that, really.
So big.
Yeah.
It threw him overboard.
Oh,
and
no.
I'll be very honest with you, he sank right to the bottom as far as I know.
Oh no, is he all right? He got a harpoon in the face and
was
sank
the
to the bottom of a lock.
Yeah.
Is he okay?
Right.
Ah, Seamus, but I thought you did the right thing. He was sitting on the edge of the boat, you know, talking nonsense. He was kind of, I'm a hunter in training.
Yes.
And I was looking, I was sitting on the grass at the lock, Swinney. And he was giving you, he was talking smack to you all day.
So, wait a minute.
Well, hang on.
Did you do this on purpose?
No, I didn't do it.
And what, Hamish, you knew all along what happened?
Yeah.
Why are you only telling us now?
Well, I'm in training. I'm leaving it up to the professionals.
That's true. Okay, yeah, that's true.
I'm an intern. I'm only in transition.
Nobody.
To be fair, there has been quite a few times when Hamish has tried to butt in with that information. I'm like, Hamish, give me a chance to think, will you, man?
So
it's your fault again, Seamus. To be honest, Seamus, this doesn't look great for you as a hunter. You've killed your hunting partner. You've prevented your understudy or your transition year intern from telling you the truth.
This isn't a performance, Dave. This is people's lives.
It's turning into quite a performance, though. what do you have to say for yourself?
Is that it? I thought you had more than that.
No, that's it. Well, you've let your quarry escape.
My quarry has escaped, and well, you know, I mean, I suppose it's a great learning opportunity for me as a hunter to realize, okay, you know, don't fire all the weapons
at once.
Yep.
Are you listening to that, Hamish, as well?
I took it down in my journal, my learning perfect. Journal.
That's great, yeah, that's perfect, yeah.
Yeah, perfect.
Good. Fair, yes. Yeah.
As it should be.
Yeah. I mean, it's good, but Hamish is driving the van at the moment, so try to keep your eyes on the road.
Aye, but I've got this third hand I was born with, so it's not a problem.
Oh, yeah. With the eyes, I think he's more worried about than the hands.
Oh, the eyes, well, that's not a problem. I don't even have to look when I write.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great skills for
a hunter
to have.
Incredible hearing Hamish has.
Yeah.
Right.
is that all? Is that okay?
Seamus, what's next for you in terms of hunting down Laurel? Do you have any
well,
idea where he
I
might
be?
Well,
I guess we're booking 2 tickets to New York City. I'm betting that Laurel has encamped himself in the crown of the Statue of Liberty, and that is where I will go next.
I've never been to America.
Hamish's hearing is good, but he's just not very good at pronouncing words.
Laurel, do you have anything you want to say in relation to that?
I just want to say good luck to you both.
Thank you.
And I'm looking forward to seeing you. I'm looking forward to evading your capture.
I think you'll find the Statue of Liberty is going to be on fire pretty soon.
I'll hold you to that.
Okay. Big words there from Seamus.
Yeah.
Best of luck to all of you. And thanks for phoning it in. There is a new way to support this show, and it's called Headstuff Plus. For a small monthly fee, you'll not only help me to continue making more episodes of this show, you'll also get a heap of bonus content from every single show on the network. That includes new bonus episodes of this show, which will be released every other week. So please head on over to Headstuff Plus and sign up today. My special guest joining me in studio today is Ireland's most famous lighthouse keeper, Easton West. Easton, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, and welcome to you too.
Thank you. That's very kind of you. My guests never welcome me to my own show. Easton, you went viral during lockdown. What made you famous?
Well, you know, lockdown was a very sad time for everyone, so I wanted to brighten everyone's lives up. There's a switch I can press in my lighthouse that basically streams multicoloured lights everywhere.
Wow.
And everybody loved it, but I did get a lot of complaints from the epileptic community.
Right.
So I suppose I went viral because I was on top of the lighthouse screaming, "How's your night, everyone? Do you like these lights?"
You had like a microphone system as well and amplifiers.
Yes, a whole lot of speakers. It was very, very loud, so the whole the surrounding counties could hear me. And I was on the news, everything. It was great publicity for my lighthouse, but there was a lot of complaints from the epileptic community. They didn't like the lights, and I had like AC/DC playing like really loud.
Right, yeah. You mentioned publicity for your lighthouse. How important is it for a lighthouse to get really good publicity?
Very important. We're forgotten about.
Well, that's true. Most people don't even think about them.
Exactly. You walk past one and you think, geez, I wonder who lives in there, and then you forget about it.
Yeah.
And I want people to stay there and question it and find out who lives in there. So I want to let everybody know I live in here.
Great. And where is your lighthouse?
It is in Tipperary.
Tipperary. Right. Yes. Is that a landlocked county?
I believe so. But hey, let's not shame the landlocked.
Yeah. I'm just wondering who is the lighthouse for then? What's the primary aim of it?
The primary aim when I built this lighthouse...
Oh, you built it yourself?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm very strong, massive hands. It was for entertainment. I love show business and I love entertainment. So I thought, what better way to give Tipperary something it doesn't have? A big owl lighthouse in the middle of the town, right next to the Eurospar. And as I said, I went viral during lockdown and business has been booming. There's been people knocking on my door day and night. I haven't slept in a year.
Now, some of those people knocking on your door are not so happy. One such example is a disgruntled sailor.
Oh, not this one again.
Willie Leek, who wants to speak with you.
Oh, I'm very annoyed with you.
Willie, what's your problem with Easton?
Well, I'm after wrecking ship up on the shore of Tipperary.
Oh,
by the
no.
shore, I mean the bloody border of it.
Okay, you brought your ship all the way
in. All the way in.
Oh, my God.
I sure thought, like, when she
you
was,
saw the lights.
I saw the lights. I was, like, heading straight for shore.
Guide
but
me
I was
in.
Already on shore, and I was... tearing through houses, tearing through farms, and now I'm bloody on shore now, and how the hell am I supposed to get my boat back into the ocean?
Is your boat even, would it even be seaworthy anymore?
Oh, I don't know, maybe, Dave.
Is there holes in it, or?
There's holes in it, there's parts of other people's homes, there's just, it's a mess, Dave, I want to get it back out into shore so I can continue my mission.
You had a mission?
I have a mission.
What's your mission?
Oh, to sail the seven seas.
Okay, yeah, it's a pretty vague mission. It's kind of what all sailors do, I guess, to some degree. So, were you aware of this, Easton? Obviously, you've had a lot of people, as you said, banging on your door. Did you realise Willie was annoyed with you?
Very aware. Willie has came to my door lots of times and his ship is blocking where I usually park my car. So it's a huge inconvenience.
Oh, but so you're actually annoyed at Willie, are you?
Yes, very much. I've had to, my car has been clamped for a year out on the street and I'm not paying the fine until Willie gives me the money.
What kind of money could I have, Dave? I haven't been on the seven seas in many days.
Yeah.
But Willie, I've said I've huge hands. I can help you put your boat back
I've
together.
I've seen your hands. They are enormous.
And I can put your ship back together. You just have to let me. And you
I don't want
me,
any help. Willie refuses help from anyone.
Right.
We'll never get this sorted, that's for sure, Dave.
Well, no,
I tell
just
you
wondered...
what, we're at an impasse,
Yeah. Well, hang on. Okay, let's... First things first. Easton, do you accept responsibility for his boat being up on land?
Do I accept responsibility?
Because you're willing to help him out, but do you think it's your fault that this happened?
I think it was a misunderstanding. I think he was looking for a regular lighthouse.
You definitely
were. 100%. You're absolutely correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Willie was looking for a regular
but
lighthouse.
I have... That website has been up and running for 10 years, clearly stating that this is an entertainment lighthouse in Tipperary.
Yes.
Please do not park your shipping my parking spot. And
do you accept that, Willie? The website's
I don't know what a website is, Dave. I've been on the seven seas for many a year.
You can see Willie's point then as well, because he doesn't go online.
Willie.
How would he know?
You can see me, right?
I can
I'm not a ghost, am I?
No.
Oh, I sometimes get spooked myself thinking I'm a ghost, but
wait,
I'm not, I hope. You can see me, can't you?
I can see out my window now.
And I'm waving. I'm waving now.
Big disgruntled sailor.
Oh, I'm not dead, Dave. That's a great bit of information now as well.
Great. Obviously, you're here in the studio with me, so you have some kind of webcam set up that you're looking at.
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so webcam. I see you have your phone. I have the website out as well.
Yeah.
Just check.
Okay, so look, you say you had the disclaimer on your website. Willie says he doesn't go online. I have to ask you again. I mean, is this your fault?
Yes.
Okay.
Now that you put it like that, yes.
Okay.
Oh, brilliant.
So she's, Easton has accepted liability. Easton wants to help, but you won't accept.
I don't accept any help from anyone, Dave. You have to understand.
I want
to sail the seven seas by myself. And
I want to bring on Easton's intern, which is Anna.
Hello.
Anna Prentice. Anna,
yes.
What's your take on this? Because you've obviously been close to all the action.
Yeah, a bit too close.
How do you mean?
Okay. Well, I got a boat in the face.
Okay, Willie's boat.
Yeah, Willie's boat and several other boats.
Okay, so
this isn't a one-off.
Easton, there's been more boats?
Some people just need to check the website more often. Honestly.
What the hell is a website, Dave? I've been hearing websites this and website that.
What more can a lighthouse keeper do than be active on Twitter
it's
stating
quite
every day?
Small print on the website.
Small print? That's like, not going to call us.
I can be a fan of size 8 font if I want to.
Yeah, look, Willie is unusual in not knowing what a website is in this day and age, I would say. No offense, Willie.
Offense taken, Dave. Well, I've been on the seven seas. What do you want from me?
Okay, that's fine. The point is whether...
But wait, are you saying, Willie, that it is common that people don't know what a website is? You're saying it's not unusual.
Are you saying you have completed the seven seas already?
I haven't yet. I've only made it to 6.
Oh.
The final one.
Which one are you missing?
Is it the Irish Sea?
That's right.
You're kind of going halfway. You came in from
Kerry. I know I'm so close, but then I went on to land, didn't I?
Yeah, went on to land because of
this bloody lighthouse.
Interesting.
Okay, so Anna, you think that Easton is liable for all this damage?
I think at the very least we should try him and build the sea here.
Okay, yeah. So try and canal?
Like a lock or a canal, yeah.
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 I mean, this option was not floated to me at any point.
Of course.
Tipperary should be on the sea if we're going to have a lighthouse here.
And
we're all sure that it's not, right?
I'm here in the boat, Dave. Yeah. I can tell you as a longshoreman who's walked the decks of many a ship, there is no sea near Tipperary.
Okay. Don't know where Tipperary would touch the sea.
Great. Well, listen, I'm so happy we found a happy conclusion there. I'm afraid we're out of time, though. I want to thank all of my callers today, but I especially want to thank Mark Canton, Laura O'Leary, and Stephen Bradley. Guys, do you have anything you want to plug? Mark?
Yeah. You can go to markcanton.com, where you can find such things as Look What's After Happening. Happening. Look what's after hip hop happening. Look what's after happening. It's if you like made up nonsense, which is made up on the spot, then you should check out Look What's After Happening. It's an improv podcast and it's funny.
If you don't like made up nonsense, you probably didn't make it this far.
I feel like there is an overlap in. I feel like there definitely has to be an overlap.
Also, I put a sketch on Twitter the other day which got 7 likes and 1 retweet, so check that out. I didn't see that.
Did you put it? Oh, sorry. I'm on Twitter.
That's okay.
I don't think I've seen it either. I need to check that out.
Maybe I need to retweet it. I don't know.
Maybe.
It's on fire at the moment. So
is it on your Instagram?
It's on Instagram and it's on Facebook.
All right, well,
catch it while it's hot.
Catch it while it's hot.
Okay. Laura?
If you were in the 12 to 14 age group and you're listening to this, I will be coming to a science classroom this month and over the next few months. I play a scientist called Taylor and I'll be doing interactive science experiments through Binnish, the film. So we filmed that 2 months ago. So, yeah.
Oh, cool. So that's shown then in different schools, isn't it?
Yeah. It's shown around secondary schools around Ireland. So I'll be doing different science experiments through the screen.
Amazing. Steve?
Yeah. Mobtheatre.ie is our website for Mob Theatre. where we do writing classes, we do improv classes. We're going to start up shows soon, although I don't know when this is coming out, so maybe we're already doing shows and you're all there already. Mobtheatre.ie is our website, and Mobtheatre Dublin on Instagram. We'll put all the announcements and stuff there.
Thanks, guys. Thank you to the Head Stuff Podcast Network for having us, and to Bobby Ahern for our theme music. That's all for this week. Thanks for listening.
Phoning it in. If you're in a quandary, you'll got dirty laundry, then you should be phoning it in.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Head Stuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.
If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.